I call this meeting of the House Sustainable Infrastructure Policy Committee for February 14th, 2024 to order. A quorum is present, so we will get started. I just kind of want to fill everybody in for the plans for this committee for this year. And so last year, you know, we heard from our committee members and city administrators, county engineers about the significant barriers that small and mid-sized communities face when they seek to secure funding to upgrade, repair, or preserve their infrastructure to best serve their growing and changing needs for their community. Some of these barriers include the lack of bandwidth. We heard from Carver County. They testified that grant development took 80 to 100 hours of staff time. And then the lack of financial resources. We heard from the League of Minnesota Counties that told us pre-engineering, data collection, project planning can cost anywhere between $8,000 and $25,000. We worked to develop bills last year that help those small and mid-sized communities develop and get the funding for their infrastructure projects. So now it's time to move a little bit upstream and see how we can best help our asset owners, state, local, and private, to have the tools necessary to proactively manage their assets and be able to coordinate their work, limit costly emergency repairs, increase longevity of facilities, and maximize the return on investment. This work began over the interim with the Infrastructure Resiliency Advisory Task Force, which Representative Gilman and I worked on this over the interim, and will continue in our committee this session. So it should come as no surprise that we will be spending several committees, meetings, hearing, and taking testimony and marking up the bill to create the Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure. Or the, are we going with Mackey or Macy? Haven't quite decided the acronym term yet. So the bill is a work in progress, and it's my intent that we refine it throughout the committee process to make sure that it works. And I'd also have the intention that we get the fiscal note before we move it out of this committee as well. I'm hoping we can get that. Today we will hear a presentation from the LCC on the task force's report, and we'll walk through the bill that I created for the Mackey and take member questions. Mackey, Macy, I don't know. No testimony or formal actions will be taken today, so those interested in testifying will have the opportunity. So with that, we will move on to approval of the minutes. Our first, so may I have a motion to approve the minutes for March 8th, 2023?
So moved.
Representative Clardy, I was thinking Mary Prince, moves to approve the minutes for March 8th. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. Thank you. All right. First on the agenda is you guys have a copy of the PowerPoint slides in your packet, and then first on the agenda, we'll have Ms. Weiner come to the rostrum and to present the LCC report on the the advisory task force. Welcome to the committee. If you could please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Evelyn Weiner. I was a research analyst from the Legislative Coordinating Commission who was assigned to the Infrastructure Resilience Advisory Task Force. So I'll just be walking you through that today, and I'm happy to answer any questions, comments at the end. So the establishment and duties of the task force. This task force was established to evaluate issues related to coordination, sustainability, resiliency, and federal funding on state and local and private infrastructure in the state. Specifically, they were to develop objectives and strategies to provide for effective and efficient management of state, local, and private infrastructure, enhance sustainability and resiliency of infrastructure throughout the state, respond to and mitigate the effects of adverse weather events across the state, including natural disasters, droughts, and floods, and provide for equitable treatment in areas of persistent poverty and historically disadvantaged communities. They were also to identify approaches to enhance infrastructure coordination across jurisdictions, agencies, state and local government, and public and private sectors, including in planning, design, engineering, construction, maintenance, and operations. To identify methods to maximize federal formula and discretionary funds provided to recipients in the state for infrastructure purposes, and to evaluate options for organizational design of state agencies to meet the purposes above, including consideration of options for establishment of a board, council, office, or other agency, models in other states, and develop findings and recommendations related to the duties specified in this subdivision. The membership included Representative Aaron Cagle as chair, Representative Don Gilman as vice chair, and also included two senators, Jim Carlson and John Jasinski. And then I won't read out every person on this list, but you can see that there's representatives from the Minnesota Department of Commerce, Department of Health, Pollution Control Agency, Department of Transportation, Department of Agriculture, Xcel Energy, the Building and Construction Trades Council, the City of Edina, City of Eagan, Department of Employment and Economic Development, City of Hutchinson, and Associated General Contractors of Minnesota. The task force met 8 times over the course of about 5 months. The first meeting was September 25th, 2023, where the chair and co-chair were elected. This was an introductory meeting setting the groundwork. The second meeting, the task force heard testimony from the Michigan Infrastructure Council and the Climate Action Framework. The third meeting, they discussed those testimonies. The fourth meeting, they heard testimony from the University of Minnesota's Empowering Small Communities Project. In the fifth meeting, the mission statement was drafted. The sixth meeting, the mission statement and the board structure were finalized. The seventh meeting, they discussed all other matters. And then in the final eighth meeting, the report was finalized and approved by the task force. I know that you got a presentation from the Michigan Infrastructure Council last year, so just a little recap. It is comprised of 9 voting members that represent asset management experts, financial and procurement experts, and experts in regional asset management planning. The MIC is also comprised of 9 non-voting members, which represent state agencies, the Water Asset Management Council, the Transportation Asset Management Council, and the Michigan Public Service Commission. The goals of the Michigan Infrastructure Council are to define a vision for Michigan's infrastructure that provides the foundation for public and environmental health, economic prosperity, and quality of life. Their 5 tenets are to collaborate, coordinate, educate, invest, and prioritize. So finally, the recommendations that came out of the Infrastructure Resilience Advisory Task Force were a board that would be charged with defining and maintaining a vision for the future of Minnesota's infrastructure that provides for proper management, coordination, and investment. The board would work in a non-regulatory capacity and in tandem with stakeholders to identify and promote best practices that will preserve and extend the longevity of Minnesota's public and privately owned infrastructure. The board will consist of 15 non-voting members that are experts in an aspect of infrastructure and 11 voting members. The duties of the board is charged with include, but are not limited to, electing a chair, hiring an executive director, identifying approaches to enhance and expedite infrastructure coordination across jurisdictions, agencies, state and local government, and public and private sectors. Areas of coordination could include planning, design, engineering, construction, maintenance, and operations. Other duties of the board include developing an educational program on asset management and writing an annual report to the legislature. And then I am available to answer any questions on that.
Thank you very much. Are there any member questions? Seeing none, thank you so much for your testimony. And I will hand the gavel now over to Vice Chair Kern. Gosh. Having a morning, you guys.
All right. As Chair Cagle gets settled, we will do an informational hearing on the bill language with House Research Code MB098-3. A copy of the language is in members' packets. As noted in the posting, we will not be taking any formal action on the bill today. We will take testimony at our next meeting next week, February 21st, and we'll mark the bill up after that. And with that, Chair Cagle, when you're ready.
Thank you so much, you guys. I'm super excited about this bill and super excited about the possibilities that we can have with it. I don't know how exciting we can make infrastructure, but I'm pumped. So. As you heard the purpose statement, the Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure is meant to maintain a vision for the future of Minnesota's infrastructure that provides for proper management, coordination, and investment. The board will be non-regulatory capacity and will work in tandem with stakeholders to develop and promote best practices that will preserve and extend the longevity of Minnesota's publicly and privately owned infrastructure. So I'll just kind of walk through the bill. Article 1 is the implementation, and so this is really just getting some support to stand up the Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure. Then Sections 2 and 3 are the appropriations. The first one is kind of going to be the infrastructure or the implementation, getting the infrastructure council stood up. And then the Section 3 would be the ongoing appropriation to them. And as mentioned, my intention is to get the fiscal note before we pass it out of committee. Section or on 2.20, that's starts the definitions. And we defined infrastructure as kind of, we broadened the definition of infrastructure at the suggestion of the task force, hoping to be more inclusive. You can see that we have agriculture, commerce, communications, economic development, energy, food, health, housing, natural resources, public safety, transportation, and drinking, storm, and wastewater. So really trying to think about this in a really broad perspective. So then section 2 on page 3 is the purpose of the advisory council. And so the Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure is set up to operate outside the umbrella of any executive department. This fits with our goal of not siloing the infrastructure council, but by being housed in one or more department that they're strongly tied to. So we want to make sure that this is kind of an independent council. You can see subdivision 2 and subdivision 3 are the voting and non-voting members, how they will be appointed. We wanted to try and make that as balanced as possible so that it wasn't a partisan. And one of the things that we heard from the Michigan Infrastructure Council is this stuff, they don't find it to be partisan at all. It's too nerdy to be partisan, I guess. All right, on page 4, this is just continuing more of the appointments. So the voting members' qualifications, we want to make sure that we're getting people at the table who understand infrastructure and different kinds of assets as well. And we have no legislators on the council. And then we made sure that there was some consultation with some of the different trade organizations and representations from the groups that are experts in this field. So we have in subdivision 7, 8, 9, this is kind of some of the language to set up the council, and we did want this council to be subject to open meeting laws as well. The responsibilities and duties of this, the main duty that we talked about during the advisory council meetings was really the education. And so we really want to make sure that the education piece is there, but also cross jurisdictions, training. And then the last piece would be a report annually to the legislature. On page 7, we are asking for some staff to help run this committee, so an executive director and some staffing, and that is pretty much it. So questions? Kind of ran through it fast.
Representative Ecom.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Madam Chair. This sounds exciting. I share your enthusiasm. I just had a couple of questions. You've described it a couple times as focusing on small and medium-sized communities. Can you help me better understand what that means?
Chair Cagle.
Yes. So what that would mean, so the Small Communities, Empowering Small Communities program is separate from the Infrastructure Council. I can see in the future how they would work together. But really, the Infrastructure Council is going to be a place where a lot of these communities can come to learn about the best practices, about how to handle their assets. You know, we've heard that story about the public works person who suffered a heart attack and passed away, and the only way their city could find out where the water mains were was by them breaking. And so really this is the place where these small communities can come and have access to the things that are going to make them really good asset managers. And then also I think open them up to maybe ideas beyond what they thought about. One of the stories that we heard on that I heard from our bonding chairs is they went to a community that their furnace needed to be replaced and they wanted to replace it with the same exact boiler. And it's like, well, what kind of technologies or what kind of programs are available to help get something better that will last longer and be more efficient? So I think it's really about finding that place to get that education.
And follow up, please.
Yeah, Representative Acom.
And then it also indicates that it'll be looking at both public and private entities. And so is that so will that in fact be addressing both public and private, I guess, is the question. And then what is the product? Like, will it be recommendations or different options or, to your point, education? Just a little bit more information about that, I think, would be helpful.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. And so some of the we kind of put out a we wanted some flexibility with the board so that they could go out and do some listening sessions and figure out exactly what our communities need. But one of the first things that we do want them to undertake is finding out those best practices for asset management and making sure that they have a system to get those out to communities across Minnesota. And so that first piece is really about the education. I want the board to, kind of chart their own path when it comes to, figuring out the best way to engage communities on infrastructure issues.
Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, little question in terms of this commission. It's going to be independent, and they're going to get state money. And somewhere in the chain of command, they got to answer to somebody. To whom will that be?
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. I would say us. They're reporting to us every year. And then a lot of the times, I think, too, these communities will come and look for bonding projects. And this is something that maybe we could recommend that their community go through in order to, get those bonding money or have the... It would be voluntary, but allow them to kind of get a leg up. But I think I'm sorry, I kind of rambled a little bit. What was the question?
Well, again, what is the?
Oh, they would be accountable to us and the board. So there's commissioner or the non-voting and voting members. They would be accountable to them and accountable to us.
Okay. Representative Anderson.
Just one follow-up. Thank you, Madam Chair. You're talking about kind of following up on Representative Acom's question about the private infrastructure. Again, if we're going to be doing some mandating here or recommendations, we're talking about private infrastructure. I hesitate a little bit in wondering how far this is going to go in terms of what type of recommendations or mandates will be coming down to private infrastructure.
Well,
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Representative Anderson. So I think this is all voluntary, and we had a lot of the private infrastructure asset owners participate in this advisory council. I think this is something that they are looking for as well, because it would help them coordinate their work with the municipalities and with the state and local governments, but then also allow for other projects to happen during the time that they're doing their work as well. Or maybe they have something, something that they're planning on replacing, and they are coordinating with the city. They see the city is going to be doing some work in that area. So maybe they bump up their project to do it at the same time.
All right. Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Chair, and nice to see you all again. We put a lot of time and energy into this, and thanks to the staff for their hard work. And great communicating. I appreciate that. Again, I just kind of want to go back to, 3.3, when it talks about the Minnesota Advisory Council on Infrastructure is established as the governing body of an independent agency of state government. So I remember talking to Mr. Birch, right? Matt?
First.
Oh my gosh, there you go. On Zoom, you look different. You look much taller in person here. I appreciate it.
I
thought you looked familiar. Just kidding. Okay, so I just want to go back to that quick and just understand, because one of my concerns was, is we do not want to grow government. From my position, I loved having input and feedback from the stakeholders in the room, but also just want to understand when we're adding things into law that, say, an independent agency, when we were positive that this was not going to be a regulating body or a state agency, but yet when there's fiscal notes and there's taxpayer dollars going to it, I just want to know that piece of it. Because I did have folks reach out after our meeting just concerned when they saw some of the language. Just, yeah, thank you. If you don't mind, can I ask him the question right now? Okay, thank you.
Sure, Mr. Burris.
Madam Chair, Representative Gilman. So first kind of just setting the context of this draft language, the council would be a function or an entity within the state executive branch. So agency, as the term is used, is in state statute is used in a couple of different ways, but okay. I'd say it's a term of art that refers to some, in this case and in a lot of uses, some component of the executive branch. As I read this language, I'd suggest that it lays out that this is an advisory council that's part of the executive branch but is not subsumed or kind of housed within any specific department. And that's what the kind of laying out as independent, I think the underlying thinking on that, not to put words in Representative Cagle's mouth, but that the underlying thinking was that the perspective is not of one particular department like Department of Transportation or MMB, and more infrastructure kind of more broadly. To the question on growth, that's really a function of the appropriations that would be part of the legislation. So regardless of the overall powers and duties of the council and the potential for staffing, that's really based on what the legislature enacts as far as an appropriation for someone to provide the basic support services for the council or for a number of people potentially to provide the you know, kind of basic secretarial executive direction, you know, do the work that the council guides in, you know, putting together the legislative report, the asset management recommendations, identifying, you know, kind of performing its duties. So it would be the really a result of whatever the appropriation level is.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Gilman, any follow-up with that?
So just one quick, follow-up just on that feedback. So I did understand, though, that it would be housed in MMB. Is that right? Is that what we said in during the task force meetings, is that it would be housed in the MMB?
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. That was one of the suggestions that we had talked about during the council meetings. But I think one of the things that we came out with is that when it's housed in a certain department, then it seems to be more beholden to that department. And we really wanted to make sure that this was independent and that we were kind of trying to break down those silos by putting everybody in, putting the people that matter on the council so that they can coordinate.
Okay. Okay, that was.
And, you know, I know you know this as a business owner, but, you know, sometimes you got to spend money to make money, and maybe in government we have to spend money to save money. And I really think that, you know, this is the return on our investment in this with this council, I think would be very worthwhile.
Okay.
Representative Franson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I have a question here, a few questions. So it's an independent agency. What is the budget for this agency?
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. We're waiting for the fiscal note. We've already requested one, and as I said in my opening statements, we don't plan on moving my intention is to wait until we get the fiscal note to get this out of our committee.
Okay. Do you...
Lead Franzen. Madam
Chair, do you have, Representative Cagle, do you have an idea of how much? You know, Michigan passed the Infrastructure Council in 2018. That's when it was established. And then in September 2021, it was funded for $3 million. And I understand that we are going into a structural deficit this next budget cycle. I've been told that we just really don't have any money to spend. So where do you plan on finding the dollars to fund this dream of yours?
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. So, Representative Franzen, I think, you know, that's where I need to make the case that this is going to be, you know, the return on our investment. We're going to get our money back. And so that's the case that I need to make during this legislative session. And I'm hopeful that after the February budget, we'll have a little bit of a better idea of our standing. But yeah, I mean, I know it's going to be a tough hurdle to overcome right now. But I think, you know, if I do my job well and make my case, then hopefully we'll be, you know, there'll be the budget for it.
All right. Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I just want to follow up with a little bit more clarification on what this new state agency would have purview over. I guess my concern is raised a lot over, I feel like with the implementation of rulemaking in our state government, us as the legislature has been giving away a lot of our authority that our constituents give us to create laws, and we give it to state agencies, unelected bureaucrats, to pass this rulemaking process. So I guess my concern when I read into the bill, and this is where I want clarification either from you, Mr. Burris, or from you, Madam Chair, is yes, it sounds like the accountability of this new state agency would be to us, the legislature, but it also sounds like it totally opens the door for the executive branch to create rules out of what this committee would put forth. So my concern right there would be we are giving up our legislative authority to the unelected bureaucrats. So I just want to get some clarification on that.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. So this is a non-regulatory, voluntary organization to participate in. So the charge of this, of the Minnesota Infrastructure Council, is not to make rules or mandate anything. It's about making recommendations to the legislature on what actions we can take to maybe expedite some of this stuff, or, you know, where are the pinch points. But really the goal of this is to educate and have that best practices out there so that when we do award a bonding project, we know that these communities know what they're doing when it comes to our assets, and that they are going to be the very best stewards of the project and the money that we award them. And so really it's just, you know, it's non-regulatory, it's voluntary, and it's something that our communities are asking for.
Representative Igo.
So just to follow up on that, so if these recommendations come to this committee and this committee says, no, we're not going to do it, my concern is the governor could still come in and do rulemaking, executive orders to pass what this council puts forth. I just think that's, we got to be really careful as we set precedents in government like that. And when looking at the voting membership, looking through the list of groups you have on here, I think most of us will agree that's a good list. But then when I see lines like, but not limited to, I think that's where politics could enter something that you don't want to become political. And I just get really concerned about that because this place can ebb and flow and change. And when we make moves like this, I don't want to see another runaway state agency that's making rules and mandates on our businesses that implement infrastructure, especially like our trade partners. I don't want to see them having another rule or mandate come underneath them when they are the experts in the field that they operate. So thank you for the answer, but those are my concerns right now.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. So, you know, that was some of the concerns that were expressed in the committee as well. And so that's why we really made sure that the non-voting members were the agencies and that the experts in the field, you know, they have qualifications. It has to be somebody who's an expert in, you know, proper management or coordination, is an asset owner. And the thing that we did hear from Michigan is that, you know, when it comes down to it, it's not political. You know, and I think Representative Gilman can kind of back me up. That was one of the conversations that we had a lot And that's also one of the reasons that why, if you look at the appointing authority, that there's even numbers across the board there. So it doesn't give one, it's even numbers across the board so that that there is fairness and that we are trying to make it as nonpartisan as possible. I hear your concerns about rulemaking, and I'm kind of wondering about that. If I'd be willing to work with you about a way that we can maybe wall it off somehow, because I agree with you. This shouldn't be political. This should be about, the cement in the ground and our infrastructure and what's best for our state. And we want the experts telling us, I don't belong at that table. I don't know about wastewater, or stormwater retention. That's, it should be the experts in the field who are making these recommendations.
Thank you. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Chair, and Representative Cagle here. I think that as I look over this bill in its current form, the concern I see is it's when it both mentions public and private assets, and then it's largely about infrastructure. My concern is the way that it's currently outlined along the lines of the board voting and non-voting members. It's a heavy dose of state agency from across our current state agencies, and it lacks experience from the private sector, and specifically it lacks the knowledge base in true infrastructure experts. Rather, it instead has primarily the given commissioners or their appointees. From the way that I read the language.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. So those are non-voting members. They're only there to advise the voting members about state policy and state, trying to help them make this a reality through the complicated systems that are state agencies. So if you look at the language, the non-voting members are the ones that are laid out in Subdivision 3. So those are the state agencies, non-voting. The voting members are the ones that are actually the experts in the field. So you'd see the qualifications that they are asset managers in one or more areas of planning, design, construction, management, or operation and maintenance for drinking water, wastewater, stormwater, transportation, energy, and communications. Either financial management or procurement, regional asset management across jurisdiction or infrastructure sectors, and no current legislators may be on the council. So those are the voting members. I think that's exactly what you want to see then.
Representative Schultz.
Yeah, thank you. And so just to flesh that out further, but all of these folks are appointed by either, like it says, legislative leadership, the governor, or the Indian Affairs Council. I'm concerned about the amount. We need more private investment into this with their ideas, with their knowledge and expertise, and so that I really encourage that, especially and there's been a lot of debate from members or conversation and concerns laid from members on this side of the aisle as it relates to how much power this appears to give back to another part of the executive branch. And when we think about the fact that you just mentioned at the very beginning that this should be accountable to the legislature, my understanding is this bill provides all of the full framework for the Department of Administration to change course on exactly what the deliverables of this this new state agency would be.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. I guess I'm really confused by the last part of that question. It would give – what was that?
Representative Schultz.
Yeah, a clause that allows the Department of Administration to unilaterally okay changes to the way that the council operates.
Chair Cagle.
Can you tell me the line?
Subdivision 4, 2.3.
Representative Schultz. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Line 2.3.
Chair Cagle.
Oh, this – okay, so it – I just have to read this real quick. So the provision authorizes the executive branch reorganization
sooner than is typically allowed to provide implementation flexibility. And you can see this language in other proposals that create a new entity in the executive branch.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Chair. And that, so that's my concern, right, is that, this hands another brand new state agency to the executive branch, full authority to change the deliverables without the approval of the legislature, based upon my understanding of that language in Subdivision 4.
Chair Cagle?
Thank you, Chair. Can you, what deliverables are you talking about?
Representative Schultz.
Thank you. Based upon this language, my understanding would be that the deliverable from this council is a report to the legislature. And thus, that could be wholly directed by the executive branch. And that's what I believe this language would lead us to.
Chair Cagle?
Thank you. Mr. Burris, would you be able to clarify that language?
Yeah, Mr. Burris.
Madam Chair and members, the provision that's in that subdivision, as you had stated, lays out that it would not be the usual one-year kind of holding period before the executive branch could reorganize the structure. And what that refers to is not so much powers and duties, but it's a as far as what is in statute that would stay. So there would be the same requirements. It's more agency organization. So, for instance, if there is an existing, just to take an example, if there's an existing office that the Department of Administration felt fit better within the Advisory Council, under current law, they would be able to do a reorganization and move the office. It wouldn't decrease staffing. It would kind of be more of an organizational shift. Normally that needs to wait a year. This provision would allow that to take place soon. It still would need to, the powers and duties would be unchanged from what's established in the enabling legislation. So that wouldn't be a modification as to what the functions are. It's more of a modification as to what entity undertakes those functions, or what the kind of overarching executive branch structure might look like or get modified.
Chair Cagle?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what I'm understanding is it's just moving the chairs around and not so much changing any deliverables at all.
All right. Lead Franzen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Back to the Minnesota Advisory Council, the voting membership and the non-voting membership. So when, for example, the council consists of following voting members, two members appointed by the governor, two members appointed by the Senate Majority Leader, blah, 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 does that mean that those appointments, so let's say the Speaker of the House can then go to Subdivision 5 and use these examples? Are we appointing people from, like, the Association of Minnesota Counties, the contractors? Or are we talking about members itself?
Chair
King. Thank you, Chair. So we're asking that the appointing people consult with maybe some of these organizations, recommend somebody maybe. You know, we put those organizations in because we thought that at the table, those are the ones that we thought were vital to the work that we were doing. And so it's really just like, here's a place where you can tap some of your some of your people.
Lead Franzen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Cagle, so the appointed individual, so let's say the Senate Majority Leader has two members they can appoint. They're not allowed to appoint current members from the language. Are they allowed to appoint former members?
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. As long as they meet the qualifications for voting members.
Lead Branson.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Representative Cagle, my concern is that we are going to have individuals on this task force that maybe have absolutely no background on infrastructure.
no idea about how roads and bridges are built, how culverts are put in, et cetera, et cetera. From what I also understand from the task force is that there was no agreement on this particular legislation that left the end of it.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you. So for the voting members, again, subdivision four is the qualifications to be a voting member. So they have to be an individual who has expertise and experience, whether from the public or private sector, in any of the following: asset management in one or more areas of planning, design, construction, management, operation, and maintenance for drinking water, wastewater, stormwater, transportation, energy, or communications. Financial management or procurement, regional asset management across jurisdiction and infrastructure. And so those are the qualifications. I forgot the second part. Oh, with the no recommendation on legislation. A lot of the state agencies had contacted me and said that they couldn't vote on any kind of recommendation for legislation because they are executive branch members, and that has to come through the governor's policy recommendation process. And then I think, you know, once the departments kind of felt that way, I think a lot of the other people who were representing trade organizations kind of felt the same way. They needed to go back to their folks and see if it was something that they could, you know, put their weight behind. And so during the last meeting, we decided to not add the policy or the language recommendations to the final report. The language recommendations are based off the final report, and I made it clear during the task force meeting that I intended to introduce this legislation.
Lead Franzen.
Representative Cagle, why create a whole new state agency, which in my opinion is going to be beholden to the executive branch, instead of just doing another task force or a permanent task force? If their job is to create a report for the legislature every year.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So their job, one of their jobs, is to put the report out. But the main job that we have kind of directed them to do is the education on asset management. And so that's really what the goal is to get out there and do this asset management.
All right. I have another member with a question. Representative Gilman.
Great. So just so I understand real quick. Thank you, Chair. We are going to do like a markup at some point. Is that right? Like where we can kind of go through like a markup. If there's what I'm hearing is that there's that we've got three meetings to kind of work through this, which is amazing. So we could come just with some constructive things. And what's exciting is that again, hearing that you want to have bipartisan work on this, which is fabulous. So that will be coming, right? Where we'll kind of go through line by line a little bit in the future. Is that happening?
Yeah. Chair, thank you. Yep, we have set aside three committee hearings for markup on this bill.
So when would you like to start that?
I believe we're going to be taking testimony next week, and then the week after that, we will start markup.
Okay.
So you guys have plenty of time for amendments. Get working on them.
Cool. Thank you.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Chair and Representative Cagle. We talked in some part in regards to the total cost for this and a brand new state agency. I believe we had two new state agencies last session. So my question is, you've done a lot of research into this, and it appears that there might be some other states who have implemented something similar to this. And then you just talked about your premise that education is a large part of the duty of this group, this new state agency. My question for you, with all of that in mind, is how many staff do you think are going to be needed in this state agency, realizing we added over 2,000 new state agency staff members in the last year, and that is a heavy burden for Minnesota taxpayers?
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. So what they have three staff people in Michigan. And so if I don't think we would be able to, you know, stand something up very quickly. And so I think we could stand something up pretty quickly. And so what I was kind of basing my thoughts on was the infrastructure coordinator position that we created last year, and I believe it was about $700,000 a year for that position with two staff as well, so or maybe three staff. And so that's kind of what I'm basing my thinking on this, is that it could be like a two to three staff organization at the end, you know, when it's fully stood up.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you. I think that a larger concern from our side of the aisle here is we already have a bloated state government, one that spent all of it, $18 or $19 or $20 billion surplus in the last session, and we have to ensure that we're not wasting dollars. There, you know, we could probably look within the Department of Transportation, and they would likely say that they have, you know, some ability to put this within the staff that they have. And so I even heard a recent story of a DOT staffer who had a large part of their responsibilities taken from them. They're still making $100,000 a year, and what their job, generally speaking, is to water the flowers. I mean, this is the sort of concern that we have about creating these new state agencies that appear to be duplicative towards our larger-term goal. So I'll just add that to the conversation.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. So I think that is a valid concern, and that's why we want to make sure that we are being stewards of taxpayer money, and that this would be a way to help make sure that when we're awarding projects to communities, or that, you know, that folks who are in charge of our assets are maintaining them, so that, you know, if there's an a project out there, like a water main, let's say, you know, and we put that in, and then we have somebody who has no idea how to do maintenance on it, and they're running that program for 5 years, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a problem. It's, you know, it's like changing your oil. Or I had a brand new griddle analogy. It's like it's like grabbing your grandma's cast iron pan and making sure that you season it every few years. You want to make sure that you're taking care of what you have. And if you take care of what you have, it will last longer, it will perform the way it's supposed to, and we won't have to spend money on repair and replacement.
Moving on to Lead Franzen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, Representative Cagle, if you're using a cast iron pan, it needs to be seasoned after every use, not every few years. Every use,
oh,
yes.
Oh, boy, I'm doing it
yes.
wrong.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Secondly, is the membership set in stone, or do you have some openness in adding other experts to it?
Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Chair. I have all the openness in the world. I want to make sure that this is something that works for everybody, that everybody feels ownership over, and that is something that, you know, that we can do, and that it will be worthwhile. So I'm completely open.
So perhaps we could find some comfort language for the markup bill?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great, thanks.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up on what Representative Schultz brought up, a question to Mr. Burris. I think on our side, whether rightly or wrongly, there's fear of kind of a runaway commission here. If we're going to lose authority, it's going to answer to the governor, an executive order. Just concerned about going back to on page 2, beginning at line 3 of the organization. Is that kind of boilerplate language when they can to put into a bill that they can change the makeup before a year, or is that something unique to this bill? And why is that piece necessary to change the makeup in a hurry, in a fast timeline?
Mr. Burris?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, I've seen examples of that approach in other establishment of entities. I guess it's a policy choice of the legislature whether to allow for a sooner reorganization as part of the implementation process kind of early on, as opposed to building in that delay before the existing statutory authority for reorganization would kick in.
Okay. Representative Anderson.
Thanks again, Madam Chair. And just a comment to Chair Cagle. You know, it seems that we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. I think you would agree with that. But we have Department of Commerce, we have Deed, we have Dolly. And I can't help but imagine we have people in those departments that are doing some of the things that you're wanting to do with this commission. Mm-hmm. And again, are we reinventing the wheel? And you know, just the concern about we're making more bureaucracy to deal with bureaucracy. And it seems that I need to be told that we need this commission.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you. I think those are really good points. And so that's the thing, is a lot of these agencies are doing this, but they're not talking to each other. And so that's the frustration, is because there is so much duplicative work going on. You know, MnDOT doing it and Commerce doing it and Deed doing it, that they should be doing it together. And so that's really where, you know, this is hoping to break down some of those silos. And really, like, have the left hand talk to the right hand.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you. No, Madam Chair and Representative Cagle, I think that, like, through the entirety of the 2023 session, we heard agency after agency say, we need 10, 20, 30% increases in state spending. I remember January of 2023 when the governor came out and said, we need a 25% increase in state spending. And we need to enhance coordination. And so we need all these extra staff at all these state agencies to increase the way that they work together. And here we are saying we need a brand new state agency with more state employees, an additional future long-term burden for taxpayers in Minnesota, when agency staff should be doing this already with the resources that we get them already to do their job. And that's a major concern, because at the end of the day last year, it was a 38% increase in state spending. 38%. Does anyone think that's sustainable? It's not.
Chair Cagle?
Thank you, and I think that highlights the need for this, is because that, you know, when we've seen the coordination of work in Michigan, one of the things that we had heard from the Michigan Infrastructure Council is that they reduced their project costs by 20 to 30%. And I think in the last time that we talked to Ryan, that he said it was like 40%. I don't know. I'd want to see the numbers on that, but you know, I think that the return on investment for this makes the case for it. And so I think that's exactly why we need this, is because we need that coordination. We need to make sure that people are taking care of the assets that we have, so that we're not spending more money down the line, that we're making sure that the projects that are being funded are ones that fit within the vision for the state, and that that there is some, I think the key difference between this and kind of what you're talking about with the agencies is that we are bringing in experts in the field. You know, we're not asking the agencies to make decisions. We're asking the people who are the boots on the ground, the ones who are out there, you know, cleaning the sewer pipes from the flushable wipes that aren't flushable, and, you know, the ones who are designing the roadways, and the ones who are working through that grant process 12 or 15 applications later. Those are the people that are going to be setting, you know, kind of the agenda for this organization. And so, you know, the agencies are there because they need to be there to hear from the private and public entities that will be represented by this council, and figure out how to best work with them, because they are the ones that are out there doing the work. And so I think, you know, kind of this would really also highlight some of the state pinch points for the boots on the ground, so that we can, you know, if there's a problem, it's not going to be like, oh, 12 cities are having the same problem and nobody knows. And then, you know, a year later, somebody meets at a conference, they're like, oh, I had that problem too. You know, it's kind of a triage place as well. So that's my hope, at least, or my vision.
Thank you, Chair. And as noted earlier, we will have more opportunities for hearings and to go through and mark this bill up. Chair Cagle, is there anything you'd like to add before we wrap up today? Lead Franzen? Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really looking forward to the conversation on this. I want to make sure that it's a good bill that we all feel confident passing out of committee. And so I'm willing to do the work and really want to make sure that you guys know my door is open to all of you and all of you. I want to make this good. I want to make it a really good piece of legislation that's going to help our cities, our municipalities, our asset owners, and our taxpayers. Because what it comes down to is making sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck and that we're taking care of our assets. We're seasoning our pan every time. So I really appreciate the conversation, and I welcome the feedback. So thank you very much.
Lead Franzen.
Thank you, Representative. So Representative Cagle, I sent a letter to you on January 30th and did not get a response, and for the members and to the public, it was about ending this committee.
I did respond to you.
This committee that, quite honestly, I still don't know why it exists. Currently, this year, we have had 423 introductions of bills. Zero have been sent to this committee. Last year, we had 10 total directly sent to the committee at introduction, four of which were the chair's bills. There is no Senate comparable committee. And quite honestly, we were told this committee would not be dealing with climate change related bills, as there was already a climate, energy, finance, and policy committee. But many of the bills that were heard last year in this committee were in fact climate change or energy related. For example, we had House File 2170, which was global warming impact standards for state buildings and roads for construction materials. House File 2036, energy use provisions modified. House File 1135, weather trends and building designs. House File 749, state buildings designs to incorporate climate change and resiliency. And there was one GOP member, House File 342, that was Representative Igoe's on the carbon capture sequestration, which was initially sent to the Climate Change Energy Committee and then re-referred to this committee on a motion to recall and re-referred on February 16th, but was yet never heard in this committee. Madam Chair and members, I think this committee is a huge waste of time. We could be freeing up this committee room for more important committees. These bills that we don't have a budget, they either get sent to transportation or to the Climate and Energy Committee because that's where they belong. And so that's just where I am on that, Madam Chair. I really honestly still don't know why this committee exists, why we are wasting our time on this committee. And that is my comments to put on the record.
Chair Cagle.
Thank you. I did respond to your email, and I have it on January 30th. I responded that I planned this to be a one-term committee only because we are in this really rare time where there's a lot of infrastructure money being pumped into our state, and we need to make sure that it's being used well. If you think this committee is a waste of time, you don't have to come. That's your right. But I really kind of take offense to that because I put a lot of hard work into this, and I think it's valuable work. And, I don't agree that this is a waste of time because we've heard from people that this is something that they're looking for. And so, I think, and if during my opening statements, when we first gaveled in, I had kind of laid out the plan for the committee, so I'm sorry you missed that. But my intention is that we will spend this committee time working on this bill. If Representative Igoe wants a hearing on his bill, we have talked, and I said I would give him a hearing on his bill. So I'm sorry you think it's a waste of time, but I think it's really valuable work.
Thank you, Chair. And again, thank you, Chair, for your work on this committee and for your work on this bill and your commitment to bringing this to a bipartisan place for everyone. I think we're going to get some really good work out of this committee. So thank you for that. That concludes our agenda for today, and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.